You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
People say I am the best boss.
You can find us on Twitter at SB Nation Radio and call in at 1-800-777-2907. Here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Okay, when we went to break, we were noting that the Rams, we've talked about the Rams, are 7-2. The Saints are 7-2. The Eagles are 8-1. But also up with those teams at 7-2, the Minnesota Vikings, and Chris Tubbs, the world's biggest Vikings fan, still, you're keeping hope alive.
Oh, hope is very much alive. They're going to become the first team in NFL history to to play in the championship game in their home stadium.
Right. I don't know if you heard it here.
I don't know if you guys heard that.
Well, the Super Bowl hosted this year in Minneapolis, and why they would send the whole world to Minneapolis in February is another matter for another day.
That is a head scratcher.
But you think Case Keenum can lead them there, or will Bridgewater come in and complete his miraculous comeback with a Super Bowl?
See, what's fascinating about the Vikings, and what makes me, you know, think that the Vikings could be a legitimate contender is the fact that they're doing this with a backup quarterback. Okay, yeah, Drew Brees, Jared Goff. Who else are we looking at in the NFC?
Well,
Carson Wentz.
Carson Wentz. So you got three.
Yeah, right. So you got all top caliber Pro Bowl level.
And you don't have your running back Dalvin Cook either.
No, you lose your running back, and then you've got Latavius Murray and Jerick McKinnon, who've essentially picked up the slack. You're doing this with a backup quarterback who, to me, has got a low ceiling. But there's a reason why Case Keenum is a backup quarterback. There's a reason why he was a backup for the Texans. There's a reason why he was a backup for the Rams. Now, I don't know if Case Keenum is the guy that can win you Super Bowl, but with this defense and considering what they did yesterday without Everson Griffin, the sack daddy, maybe one of the best players on that defensive line, they harassed Kirk Cousins. The numbers were there, but he didn't at all look comfortable. So considering what the Vikings have, and they've still got a couple aces in the hole, I think we haven't seen the best of them yet.
When you've got Adam Thielen, who's got at least 5 catches a game,
and it's
unbelievable.
It's amazing. He's a Minnesota kid who went to high school in Minnesota, college in Minnesota. He also, you look at what he's done, he was a practice squad guy, and all of a sudden has become one of the best wide receivers in the NFL. It is a perfect progression for a kid like that.
Let me ask you, Chris, I have a question.
Yes.
Are you worried that Case Keenum is Ryan Fitzpatrick of the 2015 Jets?
You know what? He can be that as long as we can tag out to Teddy Bridgewater come maybe about 2-3 weeks.
Okay.
All right, when we come back, I'm going to find or name someone who is just like Carla Dawson, who is a big sports luminary.
The Boss and the Gloss continues now on SB Nation Radio with David Gao and Carla Dawson.
David and Carla, and we have an update from Monday Night Football. Kevin Casey at Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte. Kevin, what's the update there?
Okay, David and Carla, 13:53 to go in the second quarter. It's 3-0 Carolina leading the Dolphins. Graham Gano, a 40-yard field goal at the end of the first quarter. But Miami has it. They're at midfield. And for the Dolphins right now, Jay Cutler has the team on the move. 5 of 10 so far, 37 yards passing for Carolina. When they had the ball, they were looking good with Cam Newton running and throwing 5 of 10 for 47 yards. He had a rush for 8 yards. Christian McCaffrey has been his top target, 1 reception for 19 yards. 3-0, Panthers lead the Dolphins, 13:23 to go second quarter.
That's our man on the ground, Kevin Casey, a quiet Monday Night Football game.
McCaffrey's a weapon. You got to use him. I'm glad to hear it sounds like they're starting to, so that's exciting.
Yep, no, he's dynamic. Well, speaking of dynamic, and I may need you to weigh in on this as well, Chris, but I think as I reflected this week and I read about this sports luminary that there were some parallels between this guy and Carla Dawson.
Oh, it's a guy, too.
Yes, wow. It is a guy.
Ooh, we're playing a game. Is this like
it's a little bit of a game, yes.
Yeah, I like games.
Why not?
All right.
It's
nestle up at your chair. Here we come.
Hey, play some reindeer games here.
Okay,
let's go.
Let's see how far the similarities go. Carla, you work out regularly.
Yes, I do.
Yes, you do.
6 days a week. I take off Sundays so that I can be watching the NFL.
Very good. Okay, you work out.
But the way I watch them, it might be a workout. My family would tell you it is.
And you and this person are both good-looking people. Chris, you'll attest to that because she can't speak to that topic.
Yes, I will. I will concur.
Well, what are you supposed to say? I'm sitting right here in front of you. But good answers, both of you. All right.
Okay, then you have a personal trainer when you work out. Am I right?
That's true.
Now, your trainer is named Wesley Cannibal. The personal trainer of this sports luminary is Alex Guerrero. Okay, silent still.
Okay.
I do share that trainer with your bride, I might add, who is one fit lady.
My woman friend.
That's right.
So, yes, so he's an excellent personal trainer, Wesley Cannibal. The trainer of this sports luminary is Alex Guerrero, who may be now the most famous personal trainer in the country, perhaps. Do you drink, maybe the similarities will end here, do you drink about 20 ounces of water a day, much of it before noon?
I drink 32 ounces within an hour of waking up, and then probably 90 by the end of the day.
The similarities
Look,
continue.
Look, I've got mine right here. You can't see.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, right. that's water, right?
She's right on track.
I'm making
sure. For all you know, Chris, this is water.
Woo! I don't know. It's a clear liquid. That's all I can see from here. Might be a little bit of a reflection. I'm going to assume it's water.
It's tinted water bottle. You'll never know.
Do you ever have a big bowl of avocado ice cream?
I have had avocado
ice cream. She's still with him. All right, for breakfast, you eat a smoothie of blueberries, banana, seed, and nuts.
Okay, that is so weird, and I had it this morning. Yes.
This is not rehearsed. This is all actually
this.
Happening real time.
Did that happen? I mean, you seriously had like
I'm not
all of that?
Joking. That is exactly what I had this morning. It was blueberries, bananas, it was oats and chia seeds in a blender.
Okay.
No joke.
You're living the Tom Brady life. You are symbiotic with Tom. You are somehow connected cosmically with Tom Brady.
Well, I'll be darned.
Wesley Cannibal, Alex Guerrero, Carla Dawson, Tom Brady.
They've got a TB12. We've got like a CD1.
CD1.
There we go. Oh, I like this.
We could not have made this up.
Okay, and you know, do I have the intangibles? Am I a winner? Am I a competitor?
Oh, my. Absolutely. You have all the intangibles.
You're a fighter. You're a Hall of Famer.
I am a fighter.
He's got it all.
That is true. I'm a Raider fan. I was growing up that way, so.
Well, the beautiful thing about Tom Brady, and evidently about you as well, is you all are ageless. I mean, the guy is playing great, great football here at age 40.
He's about 10 years older than me, but you know, that's fine.
He's 10 years older, but you haven't aged a bit over 30.
That's right.
So Tom Brady and the Patriots, another win. They win big yesterday. In fact, it's sort of funny to think about it. People were up in arms. Are the Patriots in trouble? They lost the season opener to the Chiefs.
My
oh, my gosh. The Patriots in trouble. Brady's too old. They lost two games in the first month. And now here they sit. Are they the class of the AFC?
100% yes. It is the AFC. It drops off severely after the Patriots. But, wow, last night, it was a clinic. I think the score could have been so much bigger. But what I told you earlier, David, I'll repeat, is that I think Brady alone, he's got, besides his talent that is indisputable, he's got the intangible. He's the fiercest competitor. He is a winner. He is a, come on, I got this, bring it on, we can do this. And what could be a better example than the most recent Super Bowl against the Atlanta Falcons? Bill Belichick, exactly the same. He is the king of adjustments. He is the king of finding diamonds in the rough. He is the king of trading good veterans, bringing in unheard of people and making them superstars. So the combination of Belichick and Brady, I don't care what their age is. They're unstoppable. And last night was a prime example. Wow. I was blown away. Now, it was against a Denver defense that should not be unstoppable, but even Von Miller wasn't a factor last night.
The defense looks gassed. They just have had a long season. I think that Broncos defense is not the team that we saw even earlier in the year against the Cowboys. They're really breaking down.
Question for you, David.
Yes.
Do you love Brock Osweiler as much as Chris Collinsworth does?
So that's the thing. Collinsworth,
lots of love towards the Brock man last night.
Collinsworth, in my mind, early in games, gets fixated on a player and sticks with them, keeps talking about them. Remember the RG3 game?
Oh, my goodness.
Years ago, RG3 was having a great night, and Collinsworth went over and over and over talking about how this was the next great quarterback, that he was almost unstoppable, and how he was running that read option against DeMarcus Ware, making him look foolish. So Collinsworth last night started down that road with Brock, but then eventually had to eat a little crow.
He had to eat a little crow. Do you know what an interesting little picture last night, seeing Brock back in Denver? I think it really, to me, highlighted the lack of elite quarterbacks, even really good quarterbacks in the NFL. So you had Brock Osweiler 2 years ago going 5-2 in place of Peyton Manning for the Super Bowl winning Denver Broncos. Texans pay huge dollars for him. He basically comes in and lays a serious egg. For some reason, in a Cleveland Brownsy sort of way, they decide to pick up Osweiler and take that big contract off the Texans. He gets cut from the Browns. I don't even know how that is humanly possible, but he did it. And where is he? He is back full circle in Denver. What the what?
What the what? You know that the Denver Broncos, obviously, they've got a quarterback problem. Yes. Paxton Lynch, presumably the quarterback of the future, who's not been able to get healthy and get back on the field. I was looking at mock drafts this weekend. Some were saying the Broncos, well, they're going to have a high pick, would take a pick and pick a quarterback again, that maybe they're just not satisfied with Paxton Lynch.
Interesting. Yes, because he hasn't really taken the field for any.
We haven't seen enough of him to really judge, but they have. They've seen more than we have.
And they don't seem happy with Trevor Siemian.
No.
Which, who really thought that a Northwestern quarterback was going to be your franchise guy? But John Elway, being a quarterback himself, I mean, he does a great job as a general manager. So I am sure he is just at a loss. And maybe he was hoping for a little Brock magic to come back.
Well, the last few drafts have not gone well for the Broncos. If you actually look at the players they picked and the Pro Bowls they've played in, it's been a bit of a dry run. And Lynch could save all that, frankly, if he develops into the guy they all thought he would be. Frankly, all the experts thought Paxton Lynch was one of the top three quarterbacks in that draft. So maybe he'll emerge in that way when he gets healthy.
Mm-hmm. He'll need to have a chance, and he'll need to have a defense to back him up.
Well, we are still sitting at a 3-0 game on Monday Night Football. And when we come back, we are going to get a chance to visit with Kevin McGuire. He is a college football analyst for Athlon Sports, and we'll take a deep dive into all things college football with Kevin McGuire of Athlon Sports. You're listening to The Boss and Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
The Boss and the Gloss continues now on SB Nation Radio with David Gao and Carla Dawson.
It's time to talk some college football, and we have Kevin McGuire, college football analyst for Athlon Sports, joining us. Kevin, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you so much for having me on. How you guys doing today?
We're doing great, and it was quite a weekend for college sports. What was the matchup, the game that surprised you the most?
Well, I think I wasn't necessarily surprised the most by Auburn beating Georgia, but the way that it happened, I think, is probably the biggest surprise I had. You could probably say the same thing for Miami-Notre Dame. And I actually I thought Notre Dame was going to win, but I wasn't real comfortable with making that prediction. And then, obviously, the way that Miami just played. I think Auburn and Miami had the most surprising results in the way that it unfolded.
And would you say, Kevin, welcome in, by the way, but with Notre Dame-Miami, so Notre Dame, they have had an unbelievable season. But what is going on with them? They just do not seem to be able to close out the big games, those defining games. You know, after the national championship game loss against Alabama, then the Fiesta Bowl in 2015 with the big loss to Ohio State. What is the issue? And again, now to Miami. They cannot seem to close out those big games, or is there something bigger?
Yeah, I mean, I think ever since that BCS title game experience against Alabama, I think Notre Dame, certainly Brian Kelly, I think he learned a lot about what it's going to take to get his program to the next level. And I do think that he's taken some strides getting there. I think we're starting to see that this season. But, big game opportunity, obviously couldn't pull together a tight one against Georgia at home, and then going on the road and getting just embarrassed the way they did against Miami. There's still some question marks that I think that have to be addressed. I still think the program overall probably heading in the right direction, but you have to overcome those kind of situations. Now, they did have a couple good wins along the way, so I don't want to take too much away from them because, the wins against NC State and what they did against USC, I still think are pretty impressive. But, it's tough to swallow when you see Notre Dame going down like that if you're a Notre Dame fan.
So they're done, don't you think, as far as the playoff picture?
I think so. I mean, they're still technically on the radar with two losses, but they're going to need a lot of help, I think, at the end of the season. And even if there are two lost conference champions that they're going up against, especially if USC and the Pac-12 is one of them, I still think not having an extra game to kind of redeem themselves is going to end up hurting them. So again, I think their opportunity now is they're still probably going to a New Year's Six bowl game, but yeah, you know, I think you can forget about the playoff as far as Notre Dame's concerned.
We are talking to Kevin McGuire, college football analyst of Athlon Sports. So Kevin, why don't you weigh in? What do you see as the top four teams tomorrow?
Well, tomorrow night, I don't think there's going to be any question that Alabama will be your number one team.
Yep.
And I feel that Oklahoma and Clemson are a very comfortable 2 and 3, or, you know, if you want to mix and match which way they go, I'm fine either way. The fourth team, I think, is going to be really fascinating. I think Wisconsin or Miami, I think Miami's got the upper hand here. And Miami may even be off to number two with this committee, but let's look at what they've been looking at with this, with what they've done with Clemson and Oklahoma this year. I feel like it's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out. But I think Miami's much more likely to be in the top four than Wisconsin ever will be. So I think you've got two ACC teams with Clemson and Miami, Oklahoma mixed in there as well, all trailing Alabama.
So the Big Ten, you're talking about Wisconsin here, Kevin. So if they run the table, even though they're having a soft schedule up until probably the Big Ten championship game, I mean, it's hard to leave out an undefeated team in a Power 5 conference. They will probably get in the playoffs, right, if they end up running the table?
I think so. I think if you're talking about 13-0 Wisconsin, you got to keep in mind, you know, they're getting they just picked up a top 25 win against Iowa last week. They'll get an opportunity this week against Michigan. In the Big Ten title game, they're probably going to be playing a top 10 Ohio State. You get through that run without a loss, I think you've got a pretty strong end to the season that you can rely on. Then again, 13-0 is really hard to overlook. Say what you will about their strength of schedule up until now. I think at the end of the season, if there's four spots out there, an undefeated Big Ten champion is very likely to get one of those spots.
I want to stick with the Big Ten because I love me some JT Barrett, but you have got to help shed some light. What is going on there? I'm seeing a different JT Barrett every single week. You know, the 55-24 beatdown in Week 10 by Iowa of Ohio State, and then the 48-3 killing of Michigan State, where JT Barrett looks fabulous. Is it his consistency that's the issue? Is it the offensive coordinator? And can he take them further? What's going to stabilize this?
I really like JT Barrett, and I always have. And I feel like criticisms of him have been fair at times, and maybe they've been a little overcritical at times. But I think when he's playing at his best, he's awfully good. And you can see the impact he has on that team. Now, you know, last week they relied a lot more on the running game, which was perfectly fine by me. I feel like that's a good way for Ohio State to go. But, you know, I don't think JT Barrett's the best passing quarterback out there, but he's not bad. I think as long as he's got the protection he's going to need, and as long as his receivers are making plays for him, I think he's okay. But, yeah, I do feel like he has it in him to lead Ohio State on a run here. I don't know if that means going to the national championship or anything like that, but I really feel like if Ohio State's going to make the playoffs, JT Barrett's going to play a huge role in doing that. And I think that's what it all comes down to. And I think he's capable of doing so.
We are talking to Kevin McGuire, college football analyst for Athlon Sports. So, Kevin, between Carla and me, we have an ongoing debate about who should win the Heisman Trophy. I'll make my case. She'll make hers. I'm going for Baker Mayfield. I think he's had the best season this year. She likes somebody else out on the West Coast.
I'm in love with Love. I gotta love that Bryce Love. He is leading rusher in the NCAA, and he did it with one leg on Friday night against Washington. Three touchdowns. Unbelievable.
So you've got to settle this. It's a raging debate here.
Well, I'm going to go with Baker Mayfield, but I will say, I'm sorry. But I love Bryce Love, too. I mean, he's been phenomenal. And when you look at the kind of character that you're looking for in a Heisman Trophy winner, he's absolutely checking off all those boxes. It's just the fact that, you know, I don't know if it's necessarily fair, but you know, Stanford's lost a couple of games. Mm-hmm. He's playing so late on the West Coast, so I don't know if he's going to get nearly enough to make up any ground on Baker Mayfield, who has just been phenomenal in a ton of big games this season. So even the one game they lost, he still put off some really good numbers. He wasn't the reason that Oklahoma lost to Iowa State. And so I think what you've seen out of Baker Mayfield is a guy that's just been consistently dominant on the biggest stage. And I think that's really hard to overcome, and that's why I think that this is Baker Mayfield to lose. Bryce Love's going to be in New York, which is very deserving, but I think that he's going to be there to watch Baker Mayfield make that acceptance speech.
The poor Stanford Cardinal, they have a lot of guys going to New York that are always the bridesmaid, never the bride, unfortunately. West Coast is a killer. But do you see, speaking of continually dominant, do you see cracks in the armor in Alabama after that close win over Mississippi State 31-24 on Saturday?
Yeah, I do. I think Mississippi State put out the game plan for what you need to do to take down Alabama. And I don't know if it's necessarily all that much of a secret. I mean, just ball control and just, you know, finding ways to just find any open space to work with. And you got to have a quarterback that's going to be gutsy, as you know, Mississippi State had. They just weren't able to finish it off. And it's just incredibly tough to do that for four quarters. I mean, you can do what Mississippi State did for a half, and any team that Alabama's going to play in the playoff, or obviously the SEC title game, they're going to be able to do those kinds of things. And they could probably give Alabama a pretty good scare here, but it's still so incredibly tough because they are so deep and they're so athletic and it's so overpowering on the line. It's just it's really tough to do that for four quarters.
But yeah, we sure are set up for a great Iron Bowl. Break that game down for us. Auburn, Alabama.
Oh, yeah, I mean, this Auburn team, the really, you know, even before what they did against Georgia, what they did against Texas A&M was kind of an eye-opener because, you know, they had just lost a couple of running back, and then they, you know, go out and they just they don't seem to lose a tick here. So, you know, Jarrett Stidham, I think it took him a little bit of time to really get comfortable playing quarterback there for Auburn, but he has been a real key cog here for where they've got going here. I mean, this is an offense that's really comfortable running the ball, and now they can throw the ball, and this is a dangerous team. So, and I think it's going to be interesting to see what they can do against Alabama, but I think this is going to be one heck of an Iron Bowl because of all the stakes that we have here, a winner going on to the SEC title game, obviously playoff implications. You know, Auburn's offense is scary, and I think if Mississippi State can give Alabama a run, I don't see any reason why Auburn can't.
Oh, I agree with you. I think it's going to be exciting. So can I get your predictions, Kevin, for the Power 5 Conference Championship games?
Yeah, sure. Where do you want me to start here?
Start with the Big Ten.
All right, well, the Big Ten, obviously, we've got Wisconsin in there. I like Ohio State. I think Ohio State, if they get in against Wisconsin, if they play the way that they have been and they're capable of doing, that's the big key. I think Ohio State's got the talent to get that Big Ten championship and ruin that undefeated season for Wisconsin.
And we're giving JT Barrett lots of love, so he should be feeling that going into that.
Yeah.
So that's exciting. How about the
exactly.
SEC?
I'm sorry, which one?
The SEC?
The SEC, yeah. I like Alabama. I think, you know, as much as we just praised Auburn, I think they get out of that one. I think that they just rise to the occasion on that big stage. So I think it's really difficult to go up against them. So Georgia had a really good season. I'm very curious to see what they do, but I think Alabama is still the team to beat.
Okay, I have to ask my home conference, Pac-12.
Pac-12 is interesting. I'm still not sure which team's going to come out of that North Division. I'm leaning towards Stanford and Bryce Love, which sets up a rematch against USC. But I like the way the USC is playing right now. Ever since they lost to Notre Dame the way they did, they've played some pretty good football. So I think USC, the preseason favorite by many accounts, I think they find a way to get out of there with the Pac-12 championship.
I hope so. That'd be awesome. That's my alma mater. We'll take it.
Great stuff. That's okay. Kevin McGuire, college football analyst for Athlon Sports. Kevin, thanks so much for your insights, and buckle up. Here we come down the stretch for college football.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Thanks a lot for having me, guys.
Thank you, Kevin.
You know, we didn't get to the Big 12 with him, but Oklahoma sure looks like the class of the conference now.
I think it'll be Oklahoma, TCU, and probably Oklahoma. Well, although it would be super exciting to see TCU take them down.
It's hard for a good team to beat another good team twice in a short window of time.
Right, yeah, absolutely.
That's a really hard undertaking. Just the emotion of it, once you've beaten them, you think, oh, I've got them. And to get back on the field and play really, really well, play that same high, inspired level, this tight of a window of time will be hard for Oklahoma.
Because now they have a great scouting report on each other after this past
weekend. Well, they're going to be teams that know each other very, very well. Mm-hmm. So that will be exciting, but that's likely the Big 12. And then we get into the whole Final Four. Tomorrow, our first glimpse tomorrow night, we'll get a look at the CFP standings.
We'll see it shaken up a little bit.
When we come back, we'll look at the He Said, She Said segment. This is David and Carla on SB Nation Radio.
The Boss and the Gloss continues now on SB Nation Radio with David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back. And before we go any further, we're going to go to Kevin Casey, who's in Charlotte for the big Monday night game between the Panthers and the Dolphins.
Okay, David and Carla, 2:12 to go first half, and it's 10-7. The Carolina Panthers lead the Dolphins. The Dolphins just a couple of moments ago got on the board. Jay Cutler, a 2-yard touchdown pass to Julius Thomas, a great 10-play, 75-yard drive. Cutler on the night so far, 10 of 18 for 91 yards passing. And that 2-yard, little kind of a little inside shovel pass to Julius Thomas. But Cam Newton, not too bad, 8 of 15, 85 yards passing. He also has a rush for two rushes for 14 yards. Christian McCaffrey, though, the story, he's been doing it on the ground and in the air. 3 rushes, 7 yards, including a 4-yard touchdown pass, and also 1 reception of 19 yards. 2:12 to go in the second quarter. It's Carolina 10, Miami 7.
All right, there you have it, Monday Night Football. And you are a big Christian McCaffrey fan.
I am. Remember what I told you at the break? I said they need to use him more.
Get him in the offense.
Yes, they heard me.
Good things happen for them. Good things are happening here. And this is the award-winning, highly acclaimed, much-anticipated segment, the He Said, She Said segment.
What did you just say? What the hell?
It's time for He Said, She Said on The Boss and the Gloss.
Well done. Yes. Thank you, Chris.
Like,
so this segment is a segment where we really get an opinion, a voice from a sports luminary, and we give them their voice and we comment on it. Let's take a listen to Doug Baldwin, who had some comments, wide receiver, comments about Thursday Night Football.
Is this game Exhibit A of Thursday Night Football?
Exhibit A, Exhibit B, Exhibit C, Exhibit D, Exhibit Z. Thursday Night Football should be illegal, so you guys don't have enough time to recover.
Now, last week it was Rich Incognito, who was so verbal, dropping a few beeps and other words describing Thursday Night Football. And this is a commonly held sentiment now amongst players around the league.
He's right. Just like last week, Richie Incognito was right. It's just Richie Incognito was the losing end of that.
Yes.
So it didn't look good. The optics weren't great. And given his history, it wasn't great. But Doug Baldwin, Seattle won that game. He's a wide receiver for Seattle, an unbelievable player. They lost 15 players. Seattle that night, Thursday Night Football, against Arizona, 15 players were hurt or injured. And these were no small players. Richard Sherman lost for the year with a torn Achilles tendon. They've got defensive tackle Jaron Reed, left tackle, brand new, Texan, now Seahawk, Dwayne Brown, running back, linebackers, defensive end. Baldwin himself was out, safety Cam Chancellor, cornerback. I mean, it is ridiculous. Russell Wilson was out for part of the game, and Arizona had lost 3 that they'll probably lose for the rest of the season. What is going on?
Okay,
this is not right.
So earlier in the show, we offered you the job, NFL commissioner, $50 million, the private jet use, the health insurance for all your family.
Yeah,
no, you seemed satisfied with the offer on the table. You seemed willing to step into the job. But if your first decision was Thursday Night Football, and you had to go tell your owners that there'd be a big financial setback because it'll no longer be Thursday Night Football, where do you come down, commissioner?
I'm so glad you asked me because I have a solution.
Commissioner Carla has a solution. Talk to us.
We have to keep Thursday Night Football
yep.
because the monies are too big.
Yep.
It's too much to ignore. But what I would do is add an extra bye week and give that team. So you have 2 byes during the season. Each team would have 2 bye weeks and have it on that side of the right around the Thursday night game.
So you don't have the tight turnaround
exactly.
with only 3 days rest.
No 4-day turnaround. This is insane. You look at Richard Sherman. He's missing the first games of his career. He's had 105 consecutive starts.
Mm-hmm.
He plays hard. He plays well. He's unbelievable. And this is unfortunate. 4 days turnaround is too tough for anybody. I agree.
All right. Let's go to the next one. This is a family that's very vocal. We hear a lot from them. LeVar Ball speaking out about his son who's been arrested in China. Let's listen to LeVar Ball speaking about his son.
Yeah, he'll be fine. It'd be fine. Everybody making it a big deal. Make that big deal.
That's LeVar Ball speaking about his son, LiAngelo, who's been arrested. He went into a Louis Vuitton store. He just liked a pair of sunglasses there and walked out without paying. He walked out with those sunglasses.
You are being really kind about shoplifting.
Well, maybe it was just sticky fingers. Maybe it fell into his handbag. Maybe it's just a coincidence.
Are you working for Big Baller Brand?
Well, no. I just heard from LeVar that it's no big deal and everyone's making too much of a deal of it.
Oh, you're right. It's not a big deal. So I think we should tell the State Department. And now, today, we have to tell President Trump, don't worry about it. This is not a big deal.
Not a big deal. LeVar said.
So what do you think? Should he zip it?
I think that if I were a parent and my child had just been arrested on shoplifting in China and the whole world knew about it, and my child did not come home with his team and was sitting on house arrest in a hotel, I would consider it a very, very big deal. This would be a disaster.
Do you know what the irony of this is? LeVar was in China. So UCLA had their opener in China. And LiAngelo is a freshman at UCLA. LeVar was there to open a couple Big Baller Brand stores and do some filming for his reality show.
Mm.
I just don't know how much more reality you can get right here because LiAngelo, so the whole team has gone home except for LiAngelo and his two little shoplifting buddies. They're still there while this gets sorted out in China. And really it's said that they could face 20 days under hotel arrest or up to 10 years in prison. So I'm thinking, LeVar, this might be a bit of a big deal.
You realize that this is the first time in the history of the NCAA that a team has led the country in steals before they even played a game.
Ah, there he goes.
Oh, that is
ding, 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 ding.
Excellent.
Well done,
I
Chris
love that,
Dubs.
Chris.
All
very,
right.
Very quick on your feet.
Let's go to a different basketball player, LeBron James, the king. He is speaking out about the NFL and life in Cleveland, which is not so grand for the Browns. Let's hear what LeBron had to say about Deshaun Watson.
I mean, it's the same if I think Deshaun Watson should be a Brown. Doesn't mean that Myles Garrett is not going to be a great football player. Deshaun Watson should have been our quarterback. It's the same thing. It's not you on the next guy. It's just that you state what you see. That's all that is for clarification of people who just live in the box. And for Enos Kanter, whoever got something to say. He says, I don't know what's wrong.
Okay, first of all, you know, I always love the quotes when there's a beep in the middle of it. It adds some sizzle to it.
We have them every week. It's the best. It really is. I'm just glad it's not beeping you or me out of here.
No, you haven't been beeped yet.
Because then I wouldn't get my $50 million in a plane and health insurance. Got to keep it clean.
Keep it all. Well, so look, LeBron is not happy that Deshaun is not playing for the Browns. And, well, he shouldn't be happy. I mean, Deshaun could have been in the hands of the Browns.
But in the Brownsy way that they do, he's now in the hands of the Houston Texans. Oh, my God. But I love LeBron's just kind of State of the Union address. He covered a lot in this. The whole conversation started out, so the Cavs had a very rare win at this point of the season against the Dallas Mavericks, and Dennis Smith, who's their rookie, LeBron started out giving him a compliment that, oh, the Knicks, basically, they missed it by not getting this diamond in the rough, to which Enos Kanter took it as, well, what about Frank? How do you say this last name, Chris? Is it Talikina? How do you say Frank's last name?
I'd have to look it up. It's really tricky. I'll get it.
Okay. Anyway.
Buttafuoco, maybe.
That's what we're going to.
So what? if it's New York, it's automatically Buttafuoco?
It's Buttafuoco.
It's Buttafuoco.
But Phil Jackson drafted that guy. He could have had Dennis Smith, and LeBron's called him out for it.
He has, and LeBron went ahead to say not only that Deshaun Watson. So he went from Enos Kanter, all he does is talk like who knows what he says, which he does. That is correct. And how he got to Deshaun Watson should be our quarterback. And also he had to add in, and I'm not a fan of Phil Jackson. Even though he's not with the Knicks anymore, just want to be clear. So I think LeBron is having a blast with the media because he just thinks they're going to pick up every single thing I say and make a thing out of it.
Well, and it was
and
interesting
here we are talking
about in that same window of time, he's out there talking about he was impressed by LeVar Ball's triple-double. Mm-hmm. LeVar Ball getting a triple-double.
Lonzo Ball's, yeah.
Lonzo Ball, sorry.
Although it practically is LeVar.
No, I'm giving the father all the credit.
Oh, yes, and please
it's my natural instinct, or his natural instinct, I guess. But no, so Lonzo got the triple-double, the youngest player ever to do so in the NFL, or in the NBA, and LeBron gave him some credit for that. I mean, that was a good compliment from the king.
Right, it was. And actually, the compliment towards Dennis Smith was the same. And,
yes.
But it was kind of an ouch for Frank Tolikina, or whatever his name is.
Buttafuoco. Why not Buttafuoco? Just
he will now be known as Buttafuoco. It'll be like Cher or Madonna. Just one name.
Bono.
Just one name. Yeah. And they're playing currently right now, too. I don't know the score, but they're Cleveland's in town playing the Knicks. So,
all right, we have one more quote on the famous he said, she said segment. I'm going to let you tee it up. It's Tony Dungy, who's trying to write a record. He's got some comments about Andrew Luck and Ursay.
Yeah, I love Tony Dungy. And you know what? He is just honest as the day is long. And I think he really did. He was on the Dan Patrick Show, not during the show. It was kind of a hot mic. It was kind of a look in the segment that they do, and they caught this and this statement. And let's hear it, Chris. It's fascinating.
Really making it seem that Jim Irsay made a statement to me about Andrew Luck, and it just wasn't true. I was referring to statements that Jim made earlier that, yes, Andrew's got a rehabilitation process. He had a surgery. He's got to be mentally ready to go to make sure that he feels confident that he can go out there and play. So this is what's coming. And the Colts didn't expect that. They thought Luck was going to be ready, and they had to go out and get Jacoby Brissett. So Dan and I are talking about that, and people built it into something that it wasn't. So this is very disappointing.
Well, there you go. Tony Dungy, this is his cleanup on the Rich Eisen Show after kind of that hot mic on the Dan Patrick Show. And you know, Tony Dungy is a full-on class act, and I've done a little investigating, and I really believe Tony Dungy's original statement, because in the end of August, at the end of preseason, you know, Andrew Luck had the shoulder surgery in January. He's obviously their franchise $150 million man. And when Jim Irsay was asked, when is Andrew Luck going to be back, owner of the Colts, he said, well, games are played on a 4-inch field between your ears. Mm. All right, so right there, that tells me this is a mental thing. Then you've got the Colts general manager, Chris Ballard, when asked about Andrew Luck recently, said, well, shoulder injuries are subjective. Okay, these are the two top execs of your franchise. And this is how you support your franchise quarterback? You're telling me that you're basically saying that Andrew Luck is making this stuff up? I cannot believe that a competitor as talented and as smart and driven as Andrew Luck has got this in his head and is just kind of faking it. What do you think?
Yeah, so there are really two messages we heard out of Dungy. One off the record, unintended, and he did say that Irsay was worried about Luck's head. Later he tried to correct that. Luck has surely been a mentally tough player. He's played through a lot of pain in his career.
And he's been sacked like a mother. It's been ridiculous.
He's had very little support on that Colts team. I understand he's gone over to Europe to try to get some kind of treatment to work on the muscle. I'm going to give Luck all the credit. I don't know what Irsay said, but I do believe that Luck is a tough player who's mentally tough. And
he's an upfront guy.
Yes, and if it's all in the head, if the game is played in the 4 inches that is in your brain, I'm going to bet on Luck. I think he's the guy who will be just fine. Andrew Luck, I would not bet against him.
I wouldn't bet against him either. And I just wonder if, you know, Irsay and Ballard, are they Peyton Manning Andrew Luck? You know, they were happy to let him go after those neck issues. And what did he do? Went to Denver and won a Super Bowl. So learn from the past. Don't do this again. You paid this guy. You need to believe in him. You need to support him, for goodness sakes. So there we go.
Well, the Colts could be shopping for another quarterback if Luck does not return to form. Jacoby Brissett has not shown that he's the guy.
No, not yet.
Not yet. Well, when we come back, we will wrap up the show. We will debrief. We will try to figure out Carla's future, whether she is going to be fit to be the commissioner of the NFL. We'll figure out what the connection is between she and Tom Brady. All this has come out today on The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And I have something for you.
Oh, good.
The Boss and the Gloss continues now on SB Nation Radio with David Gao and Carla Dawson.
It has been an extraordinary night, a couple revelations. One, you're ready to be the commissioner of the NFL. You'll accept the package that's on the table.
Yes, because I needed this raise, too. You'll find out in a minute.
Make way for Commissioner Carla. Secondly, we understand there's something mysterious. There's a connection between you and Tom Brady. It came out tonight. You both work out regularly. You're both in shape. You're both good-looking people. You both have a personal trainer, Wesley Cannibal, Alex Guerrero for him. You both drink a ton of water.
Mm-hmm. True.
And you had the same thing for breakfast today.
Yes. And the funny thing is, so I needed this raise
you
that
need
you
a raise?
Gave me early in the show.
Yeah, $50
I really
million appreciate
dollars
the annually
million
for the next
raise.
7 years.
Exactly. Because I have the perfect gift for you. because, you know, National Bosses Day was a month ago, and you are the best boss.
And so. I am still waiting for my gift.
Yes, yeah, so it's here. It's coming.
Great.
There's only 12 that were made, and I managed to secure one. My issue was I didn't know how I was going to pay for it, but after the start of the show, you have now made it happen.
It all worked. So what is this mystery gift?
And you're not even going to believe this. Listeners, we did not talk about any of this before the show. My gift also has to do with Tom Brady for you.
Really?
So I am giving you one of 12 only made Tom Brady Signature Edition Aston Martins.
Really?
Do you want to hear what you're getting?
Wait a minute.
He has his own car. Aston Martin has done a Tom Brady Signature Edition. Seriously, there are only 12 made because, you know, he's the number 12. But now there's only 11 because I have been able to purchase this for you with my new raise. So here's what you get. This is no regular Aston Martin. You've got Tom Brady's signature on the door sill plates.
Oh, okay. See, this is
just the beginning. Then you have the TB12 logo on the fender.
Love that.
And they're embossed in the headrests.
Oh, my.
Okay. And all this, I just want you to know, I usually don't talk price.
Sure.
But I just want you to know how much you are loved and revered.
Thank you.
For a cool $360,000.
I'll take it.
It is yours.
Wow.
Happy Bosses Day.
Fantastic. It's a good Boss's Day, and it's been a good night with the boss and the gloss. You've been listening to David and Carla on SB Nation Radio.